ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयत्। नस्तप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 1, entitled The Activities of Maharaj Priyavrata, text number 19. Translation. Lord Brahma continued, "My dear Priyavrata, seek shelter inside the opening in the lotus feet of the Lord, whose navel is also like a lotus. Thus conquer the six sense organs, the mind and knowledge acquiring senses. Accept material enjoyment because the Lord extraordinarily has ordered you to do this. You will thus always be liberated from material association and be able to carry out the Lord's orders in your constitutional position." Gee. Accept material enjoyment because the Lord has ordered you to do this. I never got that order. Anyway. Purport. There are three kinds of men within this material world. Those who are trying to enjoy the senses to the utmost are called karmis. Above them are the jnanis, who try to conquer the urges of the senses. And above them are the yogis, who have already conquered the senses. None of them, however, are situated in a transcendental position. Only devotees who belong to none of the above-mentioned groups are transcendental, as explained in the Bhagavad Gita 14:26, "Mam cha yo vyabhicharina bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatitya itan brahma bhuyaya kalpate." One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Lord Brahma herein advises Priyavrata to remain transcendental in the fortress, not of family life, but of the lotus feet of the Lord, Abja Nabhangri Saroja. When a bumblebee enters the opening of a lotus flower and drinks its honey, it is fully protected by the petals of the lotus. The bee is undisturbed by sunshine and other external influences. Similarly, one who always seeks shelter at the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead is protected from all dangers. It is therefore said in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:14:58. I always remember When I see this verse, I always remember Achyutananda, because he used to love to chant this verse. It's a very literal verse. Sangasritaye padapalava plavam mahat padam punyasho murare bhavam budir vatsa padam param padam 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 yadvipadam natesham. For one who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, everything becomes easier. Indeed, even crossing the great ocean of nescience, bhavam buddhi, is exactly like crossing the hoof print created by a calf, vatsa padam. For such a devotee, there's no question of remaining in a place where every step is dangerous. Our actual duty is to carry out the supreme order of the personality of Godhead. If we are fixed in our determination to carry out the supreme order of the Lord, we are always secure, regardless of where we are situated, whether in heaven or in hell. Herein the words prakritim bhajasva are very significant. Prakritim refers to one's constitutional position. Every living entity has the constitutional position of being an eternal servant of God. Therefore, Lord Brahma advised Priyavata, be situated in your original position as an eternal servant of the Lord. If you carry out his orders, you will never fall, even in the midst of material enjoyment. Material enjoyment achieved by dint of one's fruitive activities differs from material enjoyment given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A devotee sometimes appears to be in a very opulent position, but he accepts that position to follow the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, a devotee is never affected by material influences. The devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement are preaching all over the world in accordance with the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They have to meet many karmis, but by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are unaffected by material influences. He has blessed them, as described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 7.129. Kabu na badibe tomara vishaya taranga, punarapi ae tani pabe mora sange. A sincere devotee who engages in the service of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by preaching his cult all over the world will never be affected by Vishaya Taranga or material influences. On the contrary, in due course of time, he will return to the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and will thus have perpetual association with him. Tvam tvab janabangri saroja kosha durgashrito nirjita shat sapatna bhungshveha bhogan purushati dishtan vimukta sangha prakritim bhajasva. Lord Brahma continued, my dear Priyavata, seek shelter inside the opening in the lotus feet of the Lord, in the lotus of the feet of the Lord, whose navel is also like a lotus. Thus conquer the six sense organs, the mind and knowledge acquiring senses. Accept material enjoyment because the Lord extraordinarily has ordered you to do this. You will thus always be liberated from material association and be able to carry out the Lord's orders in your constitutional position. The devotees, especially in the very early days, I can imagine 66, 67, when they joined Srila Prabhupada and understood his mission to give up intoxication, meat eating, illicit sex, gambling, the pillars of material life, material enjoyment, and to live a relatively renounced life as a sadhu, saintly person. Many of them were attracted by a sense of renouncing. They had already renounced a lot in the sense that they had given up their middle, upper middle, and sometimes upper class families to live as bohemians or hippies. That was without knowledge, renunciation without knowledge, but Srila Prabhupada was teaching renunciation with knowledge. So they wholeheartedly took to that, and they had a preconception, a misconception, that renunciation meant to give everything up and do nothing, chant Hare Krishna, and maybe live in a cave or whatever, go to some retreat upstate New York, and like that. So then Prabhupada started to give devotees engagements, like manage a printing press and manage distribution of literature and become a temple president and a treasurer. And they were bewildered. I gave all that up. I was already doing that in the material world, and now I've taken to spiritual life. And Prabhupada gave a very nice example. He said, just like a young mother and her child, she wants that her child should get a good education. So she has a tutor teaching him. Especially arithmetic is important. So she one day goes to see her son, and the teacher is teaching, one plus one equals two, and the mother's very happy the child is learning. And then later on, she goes, many years later, she goes to see how the tutor is doing with her son, and she's shocked. The teacher is teaching A plus B times A plus A minus B equals A squared minus B squared or whatever. I forget my algebra. So the mother is shocked. After all these years, you're still teaching the same A, B, C? The mother can't understand. I guess she didn't have an education. I don't know. Anyway, she can't understand that this is not the same ABC. And similarly, Prabhupada would say, I've given you engagements, but these are not the same kind of engagements. And sometimes the Bhagavad Gita is called the art of all work, how to work in the material world, how to Padma Patram Ivambasa, how to be in the world but not contaminated by the world. how to engage in activities which involve pounds, shilling, and pence, which, of course, we know our Srila Prabhupada, he himself professed or admitted that he had a very big disease. And that was that he could do nothing small. He had a big plan to serve his spiritual master by flooding the world with Krishna prema through a very well-organized and dynamic preaching institution, as Bhakti Siddhanta once commented, that organized religion is a necessary evil, railing against the institution. You know, everybody's got a gripe with the institution. But it is necessary in order to effectively put out a message, to have some type of organization. Srila Prabhupada was not satisfied to be an itinerant preacher wandering here and there from a Rotary Club meeting to a church gathering. He wanted to have his own place, his own institution, his own press, his own buildings, and he gradually unveiled grander and grander plans. So, obviously, in the course of that development, there will be the association with Vishaya, the objects, the material objects of sense gratification. I myself know very well how in our early days in Bombay, and this 25th anniversary reunion jubilee brought to light, because so many devotees who I was with and who were there even a little before me came and told their stories, and it just brought back so many memories of, I won't say inhuman, but very heavy austerities that we performed, especially living in the hut. It was, you know, that word, the hut, it's got its own life now, the hut. You remember the hut? Yeah, I remember the hut. You know, it was this big, long, bamboo-slatted hut that was falling apart and housed about 35 devotees, men and women, was overrun with rats, and every time you swept the floor, there was a so-called cement floor, and every time you swept it, part of the floor came up, because the cement was such poor quality. It was more sand than anything else. And there was one bathroom, and it was for men and women both, and it wasn't uncommon for a woman to be in there bathing and a man to walk in, and, you know, it was just, devotees were sick, jaundice, and what is that, intestinal, dysentery, you God. It was, I saw more people come in healthy, happy, holy, and go out on a stretcher than I want to see. So bringing that all back into focus, and then thinking what it is today, the most opulent temple in the world, in ISKCON, I have to, you know, Bhogaisvarya Prasaktanam Tayaparita Chetasam. I have to remember that when one is associated with Bhoga and Aishvarya, opulence and enjoyment, there's a possibility of the mind becoming captured and one falling down. But the taste of devotional service, which kept us there and which was so sweet, is far greater than any gratification one might get by, and I see new devotees come sometimes who were not, who didn't perform any austerities, who just came in at the height of the opulence, and who get enamored, get intoxicated. And I see it's actually not a good place for them to serve. It's dangerous. But the point I'm making here, that it is possible to have the best of everything for Krishna's service and not be materially attached. But it's definitely something that requires us to be focused in our devotional service. Our constitutional position, as is mentioned here a number of times, we are eternal servants of the Lord, Jivar Swarup Hoy, Nitya Krishna Das. But we are Tathasta Shakti, and we can lose it. We can forget our constitutional position. We have, and that's why we're here. Someone recently asked me in a letter the same old question, but if we were with Krishna, how did we, and where there's no Maya or anything, everything's so enjoyable, even if you take we were in Brahman, it's certainly some type of blissful condition there. How did we ever come back to this material world where there's such suffering? And of course, when you're in the middle of it, you may not want to acknowledge it. You can't help but see it, but you may not want to acknowledge that the overriding effect of it is misery. You may say, well, okay, there's so many thousands and thousands of Iraqi innocent people being killed. There's so many people in this country, in that country, suffering and being tortured, and right in our own country, wherever it is, Mexico or the Midwest with their tornadoes. So much suffering going on. But I'm okay, so it's not so bad. Not everybody's suffering. It's just a few people. If you're determined to look through those glasses, then it's going to be very hard to convince you that the material world is a suffering place. But if you step back a little bit and get detached and look at things practically, it's definitely a bad bargain. So how did we choose this? That question is always there. And of course, part of the answer is that we are Tathasta Shakti. We have independence to choose, and sometimes we get bewildered by false ego or by just our part of Tathasta is that there is potential to want to compete with Krishna. There's a potential there. It may be not kinetic, but it's potential. It can always come out. Just like someone who merges in Brahman. They may remain in Brahman for millions and even billions of years, but at some point, material desires will arise, and padantiyada, again, they'll fall down. So that's the nature of Tathasta. But the nice thing about choosing Narayana, the resting place, the lotus feet, Krishna's lotus feet, is that once you commit yourself fully in that way, in other words, merging in Brahman or some other type of liberation or escapism, freedom, etc., does not involve samarpana. It doesn't involve everything. It doesn't involve our emotions, which is part of our makeup. We have all the qualities of Krishna in different quantity, but we have the same qualities. And we are sentient beings. We are emotional beings. So unless we can absorb our intelligence and our emotions in service to the Supreme, we will not, we won't come even close to being safe. And of course, it would be an exception, a great exception to the rule, if someone, as Krishna says, mamu peti tu kunteya punar janmana vidyate, if we did go back to Krishna, definitely we would not be in any illusion about the problems of this material world. So that in itself would be a deterrent from coming back here just to see the negative nature of the material world. But of course, again, in Krishna's association, I guess there couldn't be any miseries in the material world, in the spiritual world. But even if there was, one of the reasons that devotees persevered was because we had Srila Prabhupada's association a lot. And that made all the suffering seem insignificant. In fact, it was even part of the initiation to get Prabhupada's association, was to help him in his work in a difficult situation. That was part of the magic of it. You were helping Srila Prabhupada fulfill his prayer to Radharas Bihari to build a temple, and you felt something was, you were getting special blessings by helping him. So the miseries were just not that much of an issue. Brahma, and he is, of course, he's a householder, and he is in charge of the mode of passion, and he's instructing Priyavrata, because Lord Brahma is the original manager of the material world. And he knows how important it is to have a leader, a manager. A leader first, and a leader attracts managers. And managers are very important people. They do very important service. And if everybody takes sannyas, then we're in trouble, because the sannyasis also need managers. One of my, my thinking is rather simplistic. I guess I'm not a very sophisticated person, but I empathize completely with an aspect of the spirit of the nitwit bodies. Ritvik, or did I say nitwit or Ritvik? the nitwit bodies. But and if there was any way that I could justify their position, I would be more than happy to help them be one of them or whatever. But I just can't. It won't go through my brain that this. And I got too involved there. I lost the train of my thought. No, no, it was something. Yeah, we do. We need authority, but I was approaching it from the very managers. Forget it. It'll come back. Yeah, but that was just to soften the blow. Yeah. We face that a lot in India. You, to some degree, you may see, you know, so hard to, in these days, for people who are just, I didn't know what to offer in my Vyas Puja offering this year. Last year I missed because when it came down to the wire, I was underneath the wire. I was on the deck. And this year I was trying to think of something, and all I could come up with was a series of statements why I love Srila Prabhupada. And it really boils down to that. I just love him with all my heart and soul. So to see his house confused by all of these confused ideas, confusing ideas, confused ideas that are confusing others, it can be quite painful. On the one hand, there are people who were your friends and even are your friends if they want, and no vision of, just like a very close friend of mine, he is adamant that Srila Prabhupada was met an untimely, I mean, it was poison. And, you know, my way of thinking, again, simple, but okay, he was poisoned. Maybe. So what do you want to do? Dig up his grave and have an autopsy? Is that what you're looking for? Is that you want to prove? Is that the end result? I don't even care if he was poisoned. Now, I want to keep that wonderful memory I have of him. And my faith in him is not going to be altered by whatever, any type of attack on him, because I just know it's all untrue. And I am taking into account future generations. Nobody wants to hear this idea that the great Acharya was poisoned. Just like there's Muhammad and there is his cousin Ali. And there's all kinds of swirling stories about how Ali was murdered. And it's not the kind of death that you think of a great Acharya. We know Prahlad Maharaj is great because even though he was attempted to be poisoned, he survived. So the argument or the effort, the endeavor is just not leading anywhere to anything positive at all. And in the same way, Nitwit Vada, it's just not leading anywhere. It won't work. Just like one of my godbrothers recently gave a class here which disturbed more than a few people. At least 52% of the population were disturbed, and perhaps even more than that. Because the next day only about 10 people showed up. But even if he thinks he's right, what is he achieving by making heavy statements? And probably there are people who will agree with him that a woman's position is to be barefoot, pregnant, and in the kitchen. The truth should be spoken in such a way that it's at least relatively palatable and with a great deal of finesse. So even if he thinks he's right, to make such statements in front of his god brothers and god sisters, I think it's a mistake. So even if the Ritviks think they're right, or even if the people think that Narayan Maharaj is the new Acharya of ISKCON, you know, in the back room, I'd like to, you know, talk to these people with a little body language. We have to be proper in public. Anyway, I still can't. It's not coming back into my encephalopathic brain. You know, one thing, I get these neat realizations sometimes. And one of them I read recently that encephalopathy has been linked to brain damage or destruction of the brain. And it's probably true. So I just thought, well, I don't need a brain anyway. I need a heart. Krishna can work through the heart if he wants. I mean, that's the way he does work anyway. The brain is perhaps an instrument which can help, but, you know, it's like people who are Krishna, the body's already dead and Krishna's working through it. The soul is coming through. So we have to live in this world, and we will to expand the mission. We do have to think about expanding the mission. One who has got life, he can preach. And for the greater glory of Srila Prabhupada, so that people can know the great saintly person who was here and who left a wonderful message. We have to grow. There's no option. We can't. The happiest days of my life were in a little small temple with four or five devotees. It was so sweet. But we have to grow. And as funny as it may seem, but we have to accept material facilities. And we have to be careful that everything is used for Krishna's service. Krishna does not say devotees should not have sex. He says dharma virudha bhuteshu. They should practice sex or engage in sex according to religious principles. They should accept everything favorable for spreading devotional service and reject everything unfavorable. Devotees should learn to elevate themselves, udareda atmana atmanam, by their mind, not degrade themselves. But then we do have to live in this world if we're going to, if we're in the true spirit in which we all join, the true spirit of Krishna consciousness is to spread the mission. One who has got life, he can preach. This is our mission. Jare deko tare kaho, Krishna upadesh. Everyone we meet everywhere, and we should try to meet as many people and tell them of the message, the good word, and we have to exemplify the teachings. But it requires an elevation. It requires growth. Even in our middle and old ages, there's room for a lot of transcendental growth. Now we have to grow. We're coming out of we're becoming mature as devotees in many ways. But we have to use that maturity now for a second wind. Many athletes win their races or their matches or whatever it is. In the middle of the game, they get exhausted. But there's something about the last quarter where they get a second wind, and it carries the whole game. It pushes them over the top, over the goal line, into the basket, whatever it is. So this is our time. We need a second wind. We need to go over these instructions again and again. We need to measure ourselves. Are we coming up to these standards? Are we many devotees? I was with one devotee in New Vrindavan. He's a multi-millionaire. And there are devotees who have done very well. You may not be one of them, or you may be. But we have to use these things in Krishna's service now for our own perfection and to repay our debt to Srila Prabhupada. We cannot get hung up in a lot of minor details, insignificant things, whether we may have material opulence, and it's not about, I meet so many people in India in my whole career there. I've always seen people who come and they want to join the ashram. And they're 65 or maybe 70, and now they're ready for devotional service. And they used to be multimillionaires. They divided their fortune up. They gave half to their son and half to their daughter. And, you know, now they're here with a little bag, and they want the ashram to take care of them. And by the way, they've just starting to get kidney problems, and you know, if you've got a hospice, everything should be used in Krishna's service. That's what will, it will be a cause of our elevation. It will be a cause of our liberation. Anyway, I'll stop there. I still didn't flash in my mind what I wanted to say. I'll write you an email, tell you if it pops up. Are there any questions or comments? Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.